Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today on a Friday. I don't get quite as excited about Fridays since I'm not working anymore. Every day just kind of seems the same. But you know what? It is a Friday, and Friday should be celebrated because the rest of you are probably out there still working. Anyway, today is the 11th of February, 2022, and I'm doing one a little bit sooner than normal with my new normal. And you got to pardon my throat again. I've still got this tickle thing going on. No, I'm not sick. I don't have a fever. Nothing bad is happening. It's from smoking two cigars a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, I was sitting here thinking I had trouble sleeping in the night and got back to sleep and then woke up and was just sitting here kind of thinking. And I realized that I missed kind of an important date for me. And that date was on Wednesday, the 9th of February. Because if you count back in time, you've got, January 9th, December 9th, November 9th, October 9th, September 9th, and then 6 months ago was August 9th. And it did not dawn on me while I was awake in the middle of the night, but that's 2 days ago. Made the 6 month mark when my mom passed away. She has been gone 6 months. And it has been a very weird 6 months, to say the least. But it's been one of transition regarding mom. For a lot of folks, when their moms pass away, they were living in their own home, or they were maybe in a nursing home or assisted living, or maybe in a hospital. But 6 months and 2 days ago, mom passed away here at home, at my home, because my home had become her home over the previous 3 years since she had had a series of strokes. And my wife and I, we have talked about it quite a bit, not like obsessively, but quite a bit, as especially early on as we would, transition from, okay, we got to make sure somebody's here for mom before we go and do anything. and we didn't have to do that anymore. And there's been, some steps that we have taken, such as going through her things here at this house and what we wanted to do with the bedroom that was always her bedroom at our new house, and going through things at her house, what to keep, what to give to people in the family, what to donate, all those kinds of things. But that's just the aftermath. What I want to do is kind of think back and celebrate my mom. She just missed her 90th birthday by 9 days. So she had a very long, full life. And a lot of things she saw. She grew up during the Great Depression. She's born 1931, which for around here was kind of like the start of it. Although, technically it started at the end of last part of 1929. For it to really take its effect would have been, closer to 31 and 32 for most of the country. And she grew up with that being the norm. Kind of like young kids today, growing up with some of the different changes and things and things, this is kind of like their growing up norm. And then his mom entered into double digits, hitting the age of 10. As a 10-year-old, World War II started. So then, through the first half of her teenage years, she was a war kid. And there, I don't know how close any members of her extended family were that may have served in World War II, but there were definitely quite a few people from her area. She knew different people who served in World War II. And then she went through the post-war years. And then when she was in her 20s was when the, whatever you want to call them, the fabulous 50s, the the 1950s took place. But she wasn't in a town. She wasn't in a city. She was out in the country. Basically, it was her and her younger sister and her mom that were running the family farm and doing everything on the farm. She learned how to cook. She grew up learning how to take care of chickens, milk cows. She wasn't a stranger to hard work, although she was not a strong individual growing up. But she did what was needed. You know, one of the things that mom shared with us as we were starting to have more chickens, we would ask her questions. And, you know, early on, she was able to remember those, you know, things. And that kind of started fading over the, you know, the latter years here. But growing up, they had around 350 laying hens. Can you imagine that? I mean, that was a big family business for them. And they would sell them locally, and they at the local grocer, I believe, a lot of farmers would bring them in. They'd have them crated up and put them on a train going to Chicago, typically. Then the 1960s, she met my dad. She worked for a year at a spring factory, making different springs up in Mattoon. But then she got married to my dad, became a homemaker, had a home of her own, and lived in town as opposed to the country, and took great pride in her home, making it a wonderful place to look at and to live. She had gardens galore. She loved to cook, and while Dad enjoyed cooking and would cook from recipes, Mom did most of her cooking just from her head and from taste, how she learned from her mom. And in the 60s, her mom left the farm, sold the farm, built a house in town, and lived there. And so Grandma was a big part of Mom's life, too. They talked every day on the phone. And also in the 60s, this little squirrely kid named Larry came along. And Mom rolled with the changes. She rolled with the different things. Some things she would dig her heels on. She was not a big fan of technology in all cases. She did not want to learn how to use a VCR. She didn't think she needed to. Dad was into that kind of stuff. Dad was an electrician, you know, and so he was more accepting of those kind of things. But Mom was not going to learn how to use a VCR. And guess what? She outlived the VCR. VCR lasted officially like 25 years. She never learned how to use it in 25 years. So I guess Mom won that one. But she loved music, but she also loved quiet. And she loved her programs, her stories that she would have on the television while she was doing housework, while she was doing laundry, while she was doing ironing. Mom ironed everything. She loved to iron. It was a peaceful thing for her. She could also, you know, keep up with Dad's clothes or with my clothes on how threadbare they might be getting or if there was a tear or a button lost. She was a seamstress, a self-made seamstress. She didn't sew for other people. She sewed for her family. My grade school years, she was, what am I trying to say? She sewed my clothes. A lot of kids wore sewed, home-sewn clothes in grade school. And then as I got to junior high, I didn't want to have anything to do with that anymore. I wanted store-bought because all my friends were having store-bought. Fewer and fewer moms were doing the sewing. But as Dad hit retirement in the late 80s, and I had gone to college, and I went back home for a short period of time, but then in the 90s, I got married and moved out and started my own household. Mom and Dad spent a lot of time up at the farm. They took a few trips, but mostly they spent their time away from home at the farm. And at home, they would either take care of, you know, Mom would work in the yard, or they also had two apartment buildings that they took some of their savings and purchased as a source of income, and they would work there. Mom hated when people threw cigarette butts in the little rocked area by the apartments. They had ashtrays outside the front porch, but people would just throw them there, and she would just get worked up into a fever picking up other people's dirty cigarette butts. And if one of the smokers came out, she would show them the handful of cigarette butts that they made her pick up. Oh, but she was a lovely lady. She did like cooking. And I do have her little black book. And it was her little black cookbook recipe book where she hand wrote things. Some were ones that she had, you know, kind of like in her head that she would write down to keep track of. But most of her cooking, she just did from her head. She knew the recipe. But she would gather recipes from some other people and write them in. And there's not a whole lot. But one, I believe, is her signature cookie. And I never learned how to make these in a way that I did them on my own. But I do want to try this recipe just to make sure that this is the one. I know she taught my kids Aaron and Jesse how to make her chocolate chip cookie. And I thought, I will share this recipe with you. So if you've got a pencil and paper handy and you have a hankering that you would like to try my mom's cookies, I will read this to you. So simply titled chocolate chips, 1 cup shortening. And she would use Crisco a lot. Buttery flavored was her most recent, but she would use stick Crisco. It would be 2 sticks, makes 1 cup. 1 cup of white sugar. 1/2 cup of brown sugar. 2 eggs. 1/2 cup of milk, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. She loved vanilla. 1/2 teaspoon of soda, not drink, but, you know, baking soda, I guess. 1 teaspoon of baking powder and 1 teaspoon of salt. Then, and you mix that all up and you add 1.5 cups of flour. And then you add chocolate chips. She doesn't say how many chocolate chips, so it just depends on how chocolate chippy you like your chocolate chip cookies. Now, she doesn't have a temperature for baking, but I'm going to guess that it was probably 350 or 375. And that was her, most likely, her cookies. You know, Dad loved cookbooks, and he actually had a cooking recipe encyclopedia set. Back in the late 60s, they had it available where, like, every week you went to the grocery store and you could buy the next volume. And I believe that is how he got it. And Dad, he liked trying experimenting with things. But Mom had her portfolio of cooking and pretty well stuck with that her whole life. In her latter years, she did more prepared foods because it was just kind of, it was harder for her to do it. Her eyesight was not doing well. And she had lost an eye to macular degeneration and then had a big cataract on the other one. And it had to get bad enough for them to take it because she just had vision in one eye. But so she did less cooking than what she did before. But I miss her. It's been 6 months now, and I do miss her. Sometimes we had our challenges over the years, but the last 3 years was pretty special. So I raised my cup of coffee, and if you want to raise your cup, I shall propose a toast to Mom, to Mama Quicksall. That's what a friend of mine, Tom Studebaker, who is, he teaches at a college. He was an international opera singer during the peak of his career. And he loved Mama Quicksaw's chili. I need to look through there and see if there is a chili recipe or if that's possibly been lost to time, if that was just a recipe she kept in her head. But he loved Mama Quicksaw's chili. So, anyway, I will let you go for today. I need to take care of some animals and then finish up some work at one of the apartments. So, you have a great day. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. And we'll catch you next time with a cup of coffee. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.